the other day, so me and Steph have been doing some stuff in our garden and been building raised beds and stuff like that. And the other morning, I was just in our prayer room and I noticed I had a splinter, and I noticed because it really hurt. And I thought, that's incredible. It's already infected and it's been in there less than 24 hours. It was just the day before we'd been in the garden and I'd been doing that on the wood, which you shouldn't do, but obviously I did, got a splinter, and it was already infected. And I was sitting there squeezing out, and I just sensed, it was one of those moments where I just sensed that God wanted to talk to me about something. So I was like, okay, what is it? I'm taking it out and listening at the same time. And I just really had a sense of, I really don't want anything in my life that is not of God, because it's really not the best that he would want for me. And how anything else would just be causing death and destruction. And that we might not realise it because it might seem good or not harmful, but actually it's not the best. So I'm God's child. You're God's children. We belong to his kingdom, obviously. What he wants for us is life, real life. But the Bible says in 1 Peter that the enemy prowls around us like a lion looking for someone to devour. So he's constantly on the lookout to destroy where God would want to bring life. And there's some scriptures that can kind of help us and guide us so that we would know what God's best for us is. And then it also says in Psalm 139 that, the verse says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." And I was thinking about this splinter and I thought, yeah, I need to regularly be letting God search my heart and allow him to show me if there's anything that is not from him in my life that he would want me to get rid of for my own good. So if there are things that are not from God and we make a decision to say, I don't want this in my life anymore, it might be that we need to ask God for forgiveness, and he is so quick to forgive. I mean, our sin is already nailed to the cross. So actually it's like, well, yeah, I've already forgiven you, but I'll let you know, you are forgiven. He's so gracious. So he forgives us and he brings healing quickly. So in Ephesians 5, I'm just going to read a bit of it. I was a chapter earlier. So Ephesians 4, verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, we do that by in putting on our new self. We need the Holy Spirit to help us with that. That's just not like, I must do better, I must do better. It's not like that. God is way more gracious than that. He doesn't expect us to live the life that he would want for us without giving us the help. So we have the Spirit of Jesus in us, helping us to live this way. Now, further down, obviously I've written the wrong scripture again. So it says there must not even be a hint of, and then it lists a few things, greed, coarse joking, obscenity, gossip, slander, the different scriptures, but it lists those things. Sexual immorality, which I think the Bible would class as anything outside of a marriage relationship between a man and a woman. So making decisions to live without these things in our life is a tall order, and it's not easy, but he can help us. If we want to live splinter free without infection, he can help us to live that way, because that is the way that he would want us to live. So, in order to know what his best for us is, we need to know the truth. We need to know what God would say about us. We need to know what the Word says about us as children of God. And so, that is why we have written these cards for everyone. On these cards are some truths that we believe God wanted you to know about yourself. And I think it's important with scriptures, with words like this, that we don't just read it and then go, oh, that made me feel all warm and fuzzy. But actually take it home, stick it on your mirror, stick it somewhere where you'll see it every day. Write out scriptures that you can read over and over and over again, because it's good food. Even as we were doing this, I said to everyone, this is good food for us as well. It's good to remind ourselves what the scriptures say about us, because that's the truth. And if we know the truth of who we are and what he's done for us, we can very quickly identify if there's something that's not of God that's snuck into our lives. So, my little helpers, would you mind? So what are you going to do with these? Yes! Somewhere where you'll see them, yeah. On the mirror, anywhere. Speak it over yourself. This is the truth. And don't ever forget what God feels about you, and read it in his word. It's all true. And if you're not believing it, just keep standing on it. Keep reading it out over yourself. And then the lies of the enemy you'll soon realize when a lie does come in. And you can be quick to speak the truth, but you've got to know the truth first. Thank you.
I'll give you all a chance to settle down. Good morning, church. So, I'm going to do a quick little thing about prayer. I was undecided whether to start with a video, which I've got to show, or finish with the video, but I think I'm going to start with a little clip. I'll just get myself organised, Elliot. So the clip I'm going to show is from a film called Evan Almighty. Do you remember that? Quite a sort of funny film, but it's sort of a play on the story of Noah. And in the film, the mother of the family is praying. I think she's praying basically for her family to become closer, and for the husband to sort of take a more active role in, you know, being a father in the family. So if we can just show the little video clip.
Excuse me, can I get a refill, please? Coming right up. Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No, long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
So this is God, so I should have said that.
My husband? You heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. No one in the ark? You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the heavens showed up with parents. They stood by each other, side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? Is it praise for courage? Does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunity to be courageous? If someone prays for family, do you think God's absent with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does it give them opportunities to love each other?
comes as no surprise to those who remember his campaign promise. I will lower taxes.
Okay.
Go.
So I love that clip. God works in unexpected ways. You know, what we pray, and in a way when we pray, we're kind of praying for the result. What we have in our minds is to be the result. But God knows our hearts. He can see sort of through our prayer, if you like, see straight to our heart what we're trying to pray for. God's good. I've got a scripture here, which I'm just going to read out. It's from 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. Okay, I'm reading from New Living Translation, so it's probably slightly different. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. And that really spoke to me, because if we're feeling guilty, and if we feel shame, and those sort of negative things, we're going to struggle to come to God. We're going to struggle to ask Him for the things that we need. If we come to Him guilt-free, and we know that we're loved, we're much more able to speak to Him, you know, and we're much more able to hear His answer for us. And the fact is, we can come to God guilt-free, burden-free, shame-free, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And that's really what we need to hang on to understand in our own lives. So we need to know, firstly, that we can go to God. The second thing is, I've written here, we can go to God with all our needs, but He won't always answer in the way that we would expect. And we don't always realise straight away that our prayer has been answered. I was remembering a story. Me and Cheryl were out last night. We had a little fire in our chimney, and we were chatting away, and a story came up. And it was when I was, sometimes I work away with work. Sometimes I have to go up north to work on the motorways in the truck. And I think it was either last year or maybe a couple of years ago that I was up working on the, I think it was the M6, staying up in a hotel all week. And, you know, away from all my friends, away from all my family, away from all the people who love me, away from Shell, away from the church. And it can be hard, you know. And I was sitting in my hotel room one afternoon, because I was working nights as well, so that was another struggle. So I was sitting in my hotel room one sort of afternoon, and I was feeling quite low, and I'd been struggling with some things that I'd been sort of talking to God about. And I was just speaking to God and saying, you know, being honest with Him, saying, you know, I'm feeling low here. And I'm asking, you know, needed an answer to prayer. And He did answer that prayer, and I didn't realise it, because I was chatting to Cheryl about the story. And basically what had happened is, I think it was maybe the next day, I got a phone call from Matt Robbins, and it just so happened he was also in that area in his truck. So he came up and met me at my hotel, and we just hung out for a couple of hours, you know. God knew what I needed. God knew that, you know, he wasn't going to zap me with a warm, fuzzy feeling of whatever, of not being alone, but He sent me a friend. You know, he knew that's what I needed. So, and I didn't see it. You know, I didn't see it straight away. You know, Cheryl was talking to me about it. She was like, and I was talking to her about it, and she was like, that was so God. I was like, oh yeah, it was. And I thanked Him for it. You know, as soon as I realised, I thanked God for it. You know, because it was a blessing. So, there's that. And then I've got another scripture to read, which is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's quite a well-known one. I'm still going to find it in here. I could just read it from up there. Look. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So God knows what we need. Like on the clip. And we've realised now that that was God who was the waiter. God knew that she needed a bowl of chicken and chips. She hadn't asked for it, but he knew. God knows what we need before we ask for it. You know, but we seek him first. And we'll get our answers. And when we do get our answers, or when we realise we've had our answers already and just not seen it, we thank him for it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Never be afraid to go to God. Jesus has made a way. We don't need to live in guilt. Don't need to live in shame. Just give it to Jesus and we can go to God. Yeah. Thank you.